Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, we help you learn and improve your American English as we look to the east, to China. It has been 25 years since that country took action against democracy demonstrators. We'll look back and see how things have changed in a quarter century. Then, we will learn how China used a public event just last week to sentence people for what it calls the three evils. It's all about China on our program today, As It Is. 25 years have passed since China acted against pro-democracy demonstrators in Tiananmen Square. Since then, the leadership in China has taken strong steps to suppress any discussion of the events of 1989. The leaders seemingly want people to forget the huge protests and the bloody campaign against demonstrators that followed. But memory is long, especially for the protesters who were there, and 25 years have not ended the demands of the students and other citizens who gathered in the streets at that time. Anna Mateo has the story.
In the spring of 1989, people demonstrated for democracy in Beijing's Tiananmen Square. They called for change. Their calls for change were heard down the city's streets. After a time, their calls for change were heard across the nation. Students and other citizens joined in the movement. One of the demonstrators was Feng Zheng, a student and a promising sports star. At that time, hopes were high. The protesters thought they could succeed. He spoke with VOA on Skype.
University students in the 80s all had a similar attitude. They were all very idealistic. We also had a strong sense of social responsibility and concern for the fate of our country.
That all changed on June 4th, violently, for Feng Zheng and the rest of the country. He was nearly killed when a tank ran over his legs.
The government used guns, force, and blood to hold on to their power and control the protesters, and that took China further away from reform. Corruption is worse now than 25 years ago. The special power and privileges of officials are even more widespread.
The protesters had seven basic demands. One of these demands was for officials and their family members to make public how much money they were receiving. Another was the right to freely protest in Beijing. But still, a quarter of a century later, those two demands remain distant goals. China's leaders say they are in a life and death struggle against corruption. But calls for those same officials to make known their financial holdings have met with strong resistance. China's president, Xi Jinping, has launched wide reforms. But Hong Kong journalist Qing Qiong says Mr. Xi has been silent on the basic demands of the Chinese public.
And what does the people decide? People want a separation of power. People want to have a check and balance on the exercise of power. People want to have all the constitutional rights that they are entitled to.
China's constitution permits protests, or the right to gather. That is said to be true if the protests do not interfere with the interests of the state. Andrew Nathan is a political scientist at Columbia University. He says the students and workers who gathered in Tiananmen in 1989 wanted a dialogue. They wanted to talk with the government.
In 89, the government, the ruling party really decided if we dialogue with you lot, I mean, there's no knowing what you're going to start demanding from us, and then we're not going to be authoritarian rulers anymore.
But China's official position on Tiananmen is that it was a counter-revolutionary rebellion, a rebellion against the state. The government refused to talk with protesters then, and there is no sign that that position is changing anytime soon. I'm Anna Mateo.
Last week, Chinese officials used a public event in the country's northwest to sentence 55 people on terrorism and other charges. The official Xinhua News Agency said 7,000 people witnessed the mass sentencing at a sports center in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. At least three people were sentenced to death. Others were jailed for murder, separatism, and organizing or taking part in terror groups. Katie Weaver joins us with more.
At the event, police announced that another 65 people were arrested on similar charges. Li Minghui is the deputy Communist Party chief in Xinjiang's Yili Prefecture. He said the public sentencing showed China's seriousness against what it calls the three evils. The three are terrorism, separatism, and extremism. The central government has announced a year-long campaign to secure the area. The announcement came after an attack last month in the city of Urumqi. 43 people were killed and more than 90 others injured in the violence. It was the latest in a series of attacks in Xinjiang, which is home to the mainly Muslim Uyghur minority group. Many Uyghurs in China often criticize religious and cultural discrimination. The government has promised to crush what it calls the low-level revolution. Following the Urumqi attack, Chinese officials increased their policing of major roads in Xinjiang. In late May, officials seized 1.8 metric tons of bomb-making materials in the Hotan area of southern Xinjiang. Officials say the Hotan suspects planned to fill vehicles with bombs and explode them as they drove through crowds of people. This was the same method used in the Urumqi attack. Exiled Uyghur groups have said that the campaign will only further endanger Uyghur rights and could worsen the situation. 25 years have passed since Chinese officials used force to crush protests in Beijing's Tiananmen Square. One protest leader, Wuar Kaixi, now lives in exile in Taipei. Wuar Kaixi is an ethnic Uyghur. He spoke to VOA about the unrest in Xinjiang.
It's a very sad situation in Xinjiang these days, in my home country. Those are terrorist attacks, when you kill innocent people by bystanders. But I really hope people can see beyond that and then realize this is the last call of a despairing nation, an ethnic group that they are giving up on life.
Wuar Kaixi has attempted to return to China's mainland to visit his aging parents, both Uyghur intellectuals. But he was unable to make the trip. He says he feels sad to be in exile and not be able to see his parents. And he is sad that the situation in Xinjiang has become so violent.
Uyghur people are committing suicide these days. When they decide to take their own life, they want to take a few Chinese together with them. It's a very sad fact. Yes, it may keep happening.
I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Please join us again tomorrow.